In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. To this day, the Sasquatch Forest people remain elusive, and their true nature has evaded many investigative, in-the-field-style television shows and documentaries. In fact, the campaigns to track them as animals is a deceptive tactic and an insult to the clans of psychic ancient ones and forest giants. World governments know the beings are psychic and how they can be non-physical. Intelligence agencies also know this, yet a public narrative continues that Sasquatch are primitive animals. Our guest, Kawani Lapsvaraitis, has traveled and camped in the most remote areas of North America. He's in contact with clans of the Ancient Ones and Sasquatch. He's explained in detail how he learned Sasquatch forest giants are actually people, not apes or missing links. The separate type of forest people called the Ancient Ones have expressly claimed they're people, not Elohim, not Nephilim, not evil spirits, not of Cain. They are from the seed of Adam. Kawani writes, quote, "The psychically gifted Sasquatch have strange abilities beyond what strictly rational humans can comprehend," end quote. An open heart, a quiet mind, and calm, resolute composure, an affinity for the natural world, and general loving kindness can bring a Sasquatch to psychically communicate with you. The Sasquatch people have numerous clans and tribes throughout the North American continent. They've requested our guest to write the book titled The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection to bring a direct societal awareness of who they are. Kawani Lapsvaraitis is the author and editor of several publications, including The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection. We talk with him about his 2011 publication titled The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. Kawani is a holistic health consultant and master herbalist with a background in anthropology and psychology. He's a social scientist and has been involved with Sasquatch research for the last 70 years. Kawani also taught anthropology at a New England college and did an ethnographic study living among Tucuna Indians in the Upper Amazonia. He later investigated the Yeti while in the Himalayas. He currently resides in eastern Washington state, where he also interacts with up to 9 Sasquatch who live on the mountain behind his house. Kawani, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
There is a fascinating contradiction you reveal in your book of how the forest giants exist in a natural state without technology and are often compared to animals by human society, yet they're known to become invisible, to heal others from a distance, and telepathically communicate. Please help listeners understand this contrast.
Yes, the Sasquatch people are judged by ignorant researchers that see them, their hair, as and mislabel them fur. And this is actually a form of racism. We've been through this with the Native American people, with the Afro-American people, and with the Chinese that came over here. They were put down as being subhuman. And this was a carryover from Europe, bringing over this racist attitude. And these researchers are, in my opinion, are being racist towards the Sasquatch people. They're more, these so-called experts are really historians that relate material from the past. They sound good when they're explaining what they know about the Sasquatch people, but they say it in terms of them being animals and so on. And the reason is because these researchers have a lot of fear. They have a lot of misunderstanding, so they view them as dangerous. Some of them have violent intent, or they're very aggressive. And the Sasquatch are so unbelievably psychic beyond anything that the average human would understand. So they can pick up on these so-called experts, neophytes, basically, because they don't know what they're doing. And when you put out that kind of attitude, the Sasquatch pick up on it and want nothing to do with them. So you don't stalk them, chase them, or hunt them. You just push them away, because the Sasquatch have, maybe they're within about 200 or 300 acres that they live, generally close to water with their families or with a mate. When you enter their territory, it's like waking up some morning and there's somebody camped out on your doorstep with a gun or a bunch of cameras without your permission. And that's exactly how it is with the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch are in a way that they're like a mirror. If you go after them with aggression, violence, with violent intent, or wanting to get photographs of them in order to egotistically make money and make everybody feel good that you're this wonderful person. But people get back the same aggression, and they get kicked out of the area. And some of these people have said, oh, it was going to kill me. I said, no, it wasn't. I said, oh, yes, it was. And I say, no. I said, if it was going to kill you, you wouldn't be talking about it now. You'd already be dead. They can run 70 miles an hour. They're very fast, and they're unbelievably strong. If they backhand you and hit you in the head, your head will go flying off. But they don't do that. They just drive people away. So this is important to understand. If you go out there and go where people are seeing them in their area and you camp out, the idea is to telepath to them and to ask permission. And the idea is to have an open heart and have what they've told me, people should be walking in unconditional love. And that's not happening. They think love is this airy-fairy thing. Certainly not romantic love, but a spiritual love. And spirituality really is respect for all living things, for trees, bushes, insects, all animals. It's having respect. And they'll know if you do have that respect. When I teach people, I do about 8 or 10 people a year that contact me from all over. Presently, I'm working with a person in Kenya. I lived all over the world, in England, East Africa, Japan, Australia, and the Amazon in the past. So I know that whole area because I visited 43 countries. And so I'm helping this man make a connection with the Ogogwe. And the Ogogwe people are about 4 feet, 4.5 feet tall with hair. And so they're in a jungle mountain range there in Kenya, and I'm helping him. I've taught him telepathy and what to do. And I do this for people. I don't do this for people that want to benefit publicly from their findings. These are people that personally are on a spiritual journey that want to interact with these wonderful forest people. So if you go out there with love in your heart, with kindness in your heart, and with respect, they're going to pick up on that, and they'll come to you. You don't go to them. And this is the big mistake of all these 99% of these researchers that are extremely ignorant, and yet they call themselves experts when they're not experts. They're expert historians. One man spent his entire life, starting in the 1960s, stalking them. He only found 4 tracks in his whole life. Nothing. He wasted his life because he didn't know what he was doing, yet he's hailed by other people and with himself as being an expert when he doesn't know anything about the Sasquatch in terms of intimacy and who they truly, really are. So they asked me, I said to them, said, how long have you been monitoring me? And they said, we were there at the moment of your birth. I said, what? Why? They said, because you have a mission with us. You understand us already. And, of course, I was raised hunting, fishing, trapping as a boy, and I had a lot of wild animals for pets, several of them all the time. And whenever I went in the forest, a lot of animals would walk right up to me. This is important to understand because if people want to connect with them, I will help them as long as they're doing it for their own benefit and not to try to stalk them down or and harm them. One group up in Canada contacted me several years ago and said, oh, we'll give you $1,000 if we can come down and you lead us to where the Sasquatch are. And I said, no, I won't do that. They said, why not? I said, because of your intent. I said, I don't do that. I said, that isn't how I operate. I said, I know them extremely well, and I represent them, in a sense, between their world and the outer world.
Kawani, what are some reasons why the government agencies manage the perception of Sasquatch and the Ancient Ones to be dangerous physical beings, implying they wouldn't want an empathic and telepathic interaction with humans to emerge?
For one thing, the Sasquatch initially said that they were bioengineered, that's basically genetically engineered, by friendly ETs millions of years ago and gave them all these abilities because they can pick and choose different DNA areas and to create anything. They're millions of years ahead of us, not a thousand years or whatever. We are very infantile in terms of science here, they say, on our planet. And so we just don't understand what's going on in the rest of the universe. So, but they were originally bioengineered in order to help the humans. And they were very friendly with the humans. But later, they said that this happened in Lemuria, out in the Pacific Ocean. And then later, many of them were brought to Atlantis. Now, if this sounds science fiction, it's not. Now, a different leader came about in Atlantis that was evil, that was not a nice guy. And so the Sasquatch fled into the wilderness, into the forest areas of the world. And what they told me that to get away from some of these people that were hunting them, they disappeared into the deep wilderness in order to become a myth. So if you know what I'm saying, that they were viewed as a myth because they could come and go, and they are interdimensional. They told me they have access to 8 different dimensions. So our government doesn't want these people, these forest people, to help us. They have a totally different agenda. Our government has a lot of technology that's far advanced that they're not telling the public because they're using it against the public. They're not spiritual people. That is, they're not honest and respectful of the people that they're governing. So they don't want the Sasquatch to help us. But they're now, this is the end times. We're ready to have a bombs drop for World War III, and this is not a joke. And this is not, people should not be complacent about this. This is the time. I asked about 12 years ago a Sasquatch, I said, will there ever be a World War III? And I was thinking, I hope not, you know. And his answer was, World War III has already started. They just haven't dropped the bombs yet. So all this has already been laid ahead of us here.
I've heard several accounts that Sasquatch are Cain, the bloodline of Cain, or are Nephilim. And I think some Mormons think they're from the bloodline of Cain. It's interesting to read how the ancient ones have communicated to you a clarification on this. Where do these claims come from about the Cain bloodline and Nephilim?
Okay, first of all, that is incorrect. First of all, a Sasquatch has a peaked head and an ape-like face, and their arms are down to their knees. But they told me they have absolutely no connection with anthropoid apes. They are not apes. Some researchers say, oh, they're North American great apes. It's ridiculous. It's almost comical, other than it's erroneous information. The ancient ones have a round head like us. They have a human face. And they told me that this DNA was taken from the ancient ones in order to bioengineer the humans, that we were bioengineered, just like the Neanderthal were bioengineered, and some of these other hominids were. We did not come from monkeys. I mean, that's crazy stuff. But they also told me, the Sasquatch, that later they were here during the time of the dinosaurs, and that later the friendly ETs bioengineered these hairless giants. There's thousands of skeletons that were found, especially in the burial mounds all through the Americas here, and were given to the Smithsonian Institution. However, if you go there and say, I'd like to see these, they say, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't have any. It's a cover-up. Why would it be a cover-up? Because it's an embarrassment. All these other beings and humans were created. They believe in the Darwinian theory, and the Darwinism is real, but not for the humans. They were bioengineered. I asked a Sasquatch about 35 years ago. I said, are you the caveman, the missing link that scientists talk about? And he chuckled, and he said, little brother, he says, you people are the missing link. You don't know where you've come from or where you're going. The Nephilim were here, and they still may be in some isolated areas, but the Sasquatch are not Nephilim, and they're not from Cain at all. Again, they were bioengineered or genetically engineered, and they have no relationship to the anthropoid apes. And they told me, they said, we are not evil spirits or any of that, that we are a nature people. And so they emphasize that, and they feel insulted when these reckless, naive, so-called experts keep referring to them as animals. They find that very, very offensive. As a Sasquatch whisperer that I am, I'm trying to put all this in perspective. I can't prove it, but I'm not trying to prove it. I'm just passing it on directly from the forest people that told me this. So if you don't want to believe it, fine. That's your privilege. It's not going to offend me, but you'll be barking up the wrong tree. I've been referred to by some of these mainstream researchers as being a fraud because they're so threatened by reality and by what I have shared. But the Sasquatch themselves refer to these so-called experts as children. They refer to them as children because they say they don't know what they're doing, that they're all ego. So this is important to understand because their anger, the researchers' anger, and their negative thinking and their selfish attitudes towards the forest people drive the Sasquatch and the ancient ones away. I mean, there's many different beings out there in the forest and that they don't know about. And people hear about the dog-faced people. They hear hear about the skinwalkers and all kinds of stuff, and all this is real. It took me a while as a social scientist to accept this myself. I just didn't accept it right away. I had to digest this and think about it before I even wanted to share any of this, because sometimes it didn't seem real to me. But these beings are real, and they're about 100 times more intelligent than we are. So when they're sharing information, they want me to pass this on to the public and to some of these naive experts that still don't know what they're doing, because they're driving them away rather than learning about them. I mean, one man found four tracks in all the years that he was out there. Tracks and hair and even some of the sounds that they make that's been recorded does not share information. It's very limited. But when you start to communicate with them in a loving way, then that's when they come to you. They've healed me several times. They've saved my life a few times, and I trust them.
I really appreciate how you weave the various healing anecdotes and stunning eyewitness experiences with Sasquatch whisperers. Please tell listeners about the whispers and what is it about these people that will draw in a telepathic communication with the Ancient Ones or Sasquatch?
Well, first of all, go out with a loving heart. No fear. Fear will block it. But you have to learn telepathy. I teach people the correct way to telepath and what to say and what kind of an attitude to have when you go out there at the edge, and to ask permission to go for them and ask for some spiritual guidance from the forest people. Once I thought I was being really smart, and I said to a Sasquatch, I said, I think I have an answer that will help your people. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, a lot of these researchers want a body, and a lot of them want to sell it for $10 million and be famous and all that. And they know all this stuff. The Sasquatch know, and the Ancient Ones know that. However, I said, when one of your elders and a tooth falls out or comes out, or maybe one of your young ones, a tooth comes out, if you give me the tooth, I'll have the DNA in there analyzed, and it'll prove that your people are human. And I thought he was going to say, great, or yes, or no, or whatever. But this is what he said. He said, little brother, he says, we know that you have an open heart, not like the other researchers. However, that is not the direction we wish to go in. This conversation is now over. Now, he wasn't being rude. His way of saying, don't bring it up again, because it has nothing to do with where they're at and how they agree on it. They have meetings periodically where the friendly ETs pick up the Sasquatch people and the Ancient Ones, and they go off into a mothership. And when they arrive at the mothership, they have a giant chair for them to sit down on, and they have all these different races of beings from different planets, and they all look different. This is almost like Star Wars, but it's true. And so they have meetings where everybody has input on how to deal with these unevolved, not civilized Homo sapiens down here that are warlike and that want to kill everything, want to destroy the environment. That's why I go back to the environment, because the Sasquatch and Ancient Ones are the ultimate environmentalists. They know what's going on, and they're sad about it. And, you know, our corporations that are, they told me greed and power are the two number one reasons why the humans are slowly going into extinction. We're at the top of the list. There are other Sasquatch whisperers besides myself. I was the first, been 46 years ago that they contacted me. Now, since then, other people have come out. that they've contacted, other humans they contacted, and they're having experiences, and they're, some of the time, they would heal a member of the family, the Sasquatch would, and interact with them and become friends. A few of these whisperers have become so egotistical that they become self-centered, and their everything is themselves rather than interacting in a proper way. Some of them have actually turned evil. And when that happens, the Sasquatch and the Ancient One withdraw and have nothing to do with them. Now, yet they're still telling people, yes, I'm having these experiences, the telepathy, which is some of them outright are lying about it. It's not true. Others that are getting telepathy, they're from demons, the Sasquatch said. These are reptilian demons that are took the place of the Sasquatch that have left these people because they're not being true to educating the public and so on, like I'm doing, and using their abilities to help others. They're getting false information from these reptilians that are pretending to be Sasquatch to some of these whisperers who, again, lost their heads and are thinking that they're so special that they're not doing what the Sasquatch have asked of them. So you have to be careful because some of these people are not for real, and yet they're making claims. So it's a difficult situation. Myself, they've healed me several times. 2 years ago, I had kidney stones. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. The pain was so excruciating on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain. Mine was a 10.5. I'm a hermit. I live alone here up in the wilderness. I couldn't even think straight. I was vomiting. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. It's horrible, absolutely horrible. And I went through this for 1.5 days, and finally, even though I would lay down because I was so weak, I would lay down, but I couldn't sleep even during the day, that I finally, while I was laying there, said, oh, you didn't telepath to your Sasquatch family and ask for help. The pain was so bad I couldn't even think straight to ask that. So finally I did, and I telepathed and asked for help. And this was 7:15. I still remember early evening. And the next thing I knew, they put me out, and I woke up in the morning completely pain-free, as if I never had any problem at all. Completely, zero pain. So I telepathed back to them with tears in my eyes, thanking them over and over again. When I was married, my 6-year-old son at the time was going to kindergarten, and he walked into the kitchen right after my wife, my ex-wife, had made some tea on the stove, and he was going to put some toys on the stove and play on his eye level. And she said, oh, no, don't do that. She says, that plate right there is still very hot. And he smiled and put his hand right on it because he couldn't see any red there, you know, that was glowing. And he did it to defy her, being just a kid. And when he did, he didn't just touch it. He pressed down on it. And all of a sudden, he went screaming, running into the living room, running in circles. And skin was hanging off of his fingertips. I was just mortified. So I quickly went in the kitchen, grabbed a Ziploc bag and put ice in it, and grabbed him and sat him down because he was screaming, running in circles, put his hand on there. And I could see he got relief right away. So I said to my wife, well, he won't be going to school because he plays in the dirt and everything. And if he gets infected, he could lose his hand or his arm or even his life. Burns are that way. And this is severe with all the skin hanging off of his fingertips. So she put antibiotic cream on and wrapped his hand in bandages, and we sent him to bed. When I went to bed, I telepathed to the Sasquatch people and asked them if they would heal him, but I meant take the pain away completely. And that's what I meant, because burns just don't go away overnight. It takes months at times to heal. So I fell asleep, and the next thing I know, I was facing the wall, and I heard my wife say, "What are you doing up?" And he says, "I'm getting ready for school." She said, "No, you're not. We're taking you to the doctor." He said, "Wait a minute. Why did you take all your bandages off?" He says, "Because there's nothing there." And he was hitting his fingertips. And I rolled over and said, "No, no, don't do that." But I looked. There wasn't anything there, as if it never happened. I mean, I was blown away by this. Also, a close friend of mine developed liver cancer and only had a few months to live. And I asked the Sasquatch, these are wonderful people. I said, "Could you please go to him and heal him?" And his wife called me 5 days later and said, "We're shocked. The doctors can't find a trace of cancer in his body. We don't know why." And I said, "I sent the Sasquatch to him." They had Sasquatch experiences themselves. I said, "I sent the Sasquatch to him, asked them to heal him." And so even every so many months or year when we talk on the phone and stuff, or I visit them, her husband always thanks me for sending the Sasquatch and to saving his life. So these beings have a tremendous amount of powerful ability we know nothing about. And I myself have been doing healing work now. This year it's been 50 years. I'm a master herbalist. I had cancer twice. The ETs came and told me what herbs to take for the cancer. And 5.5 weeks later, I was cancer-free. Later, 6 years later, I had melanoma, and I used the herbs that they told me, and I was cancer-free in 2.5 weeks. So I changed my diet and some other things and so on, and I'll be 83 here real quick this year, and I'm still fine. I take ginseng and other herbs to stay well and keep my immune system strong. I help people. If people contact me at SasquatchPeople@Hotmail.com, SasquatchPeople is all one word, SasquatchPeople@Hotmail.com, I'd be able to help them.
Now, the subtitle of your book is The Hyperdimensional Connection here, and you mention an eyewitness account of a person who has been in contact with a Sasquatch family. He watched a juvenile Sasquatch partially appearing as if practicing to dematerialize into the non-physical. I've heard similar accounts that are perplexing to those who don't quite realize that Sasquatch and the Ancient Ones, they're in the non-physical as well. Could you tell listeners more about this?
Yes, I mean, I myself several times have seen them dematerialize right in front of me while they were talking to me. And they, when they finished, they just dematerialized. So I've had so many experiences, and I'm not exaggerating at all, but it's over 1,000 times. That's why some of these naive researchers refer to me as a fraud, because they haven't had one experience. How could I have over 1,000? Because I befriended them, because I'm not afraid to speak the truth publicly. Why would I be afraid to speak the truth? The truth is the truth. So they don't get it, but that's okay. Maybe in another 10 or 20 lifetimes they'll get it, because they're just easily threatened by the truth. People have told me that they've seen juveniles appear and disappear and be friendly to them. One woman came up from California to visit me in the wilderness, and she camped out there outside of my cabin for a few days, and nothing happened. But then one morning she went out into my deck while I was making breakfast for her, and a juvenile about 4 feet tall appeared at the bottom of my steps, smiling at her and looking at her. Before she could telepath to it, it dematerialized. And then when she turned around to look out into the woods, there on the railing was this ball almost as big as a basketball that was orange, glowing there right in front of her, just about 2 feet away. And she was shocked. She didn't know what it meant or anything, and then it dematerialized. Then when she was leaving, I told her, well, when you back out of my little driveway here onto the dirt road, and it was a dead-end road, so there was no traffic there, but still there was a tree off to the side, and she back up, so I'm telling her which way to go, and which she did, but all of a sudden she turned the wheel the wrong way and accelerated and almost hit the tree. She went into the branches of the tree. And I thought, what the heck? I didn't tell her to do that. And what happened was, after she left, she called me up and said, and apologized for that. She says, but there was a 10-foot Sasquatch standing behind you that all of a sudden materialized, and I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't even think straight and why she was backing up. Another time, I had to have the front end of my car realigned, so I made an appointment in North Seattle to drive the 50 miles there. And when I got there, the man said, come back in an hour, it'll be ready. So I came back in an hour, and he said, it's not ready, we didn't even start on it. And I said, well, what's wrong? And the master mechanic said, come out into the garage. And he had it up on a lift, and he said, tie rod. He reached over and to touch it, and it fell off in his hand because there was no bolts in it. And he says to me, he says, I don't know how you even got here. He said, you're lucky you didn't take the freeway. He said, you would have been killed. I said, I was on the freeway. That's how I got here. He said, what? He says, I don't understand it. He says, there's no way you could even turn your wheel or do anything. He says, it's crazy. And I said, well, go ahead and fix it, and then, you know, realign my front end. When I got home, as soon as I went inside, I sat down at my desk, and a Sasquatch walked right through, an ancient one, walked right through the front door and came right up to me and said, we were the one that telekinetically held on to that tie rod so you wouldn't get into an accident and die. And as I was thanking him, tears were running down my face. I was so impressed and so grateful to them for saving my life. So does that sound like a monster to you that needs to be shot and put in a museum or something by these idiots that want to kill a Sasquatch?
It's fascinating. You do distinguish between the different types of forest giants, including ancient ones. Could you remind listeners of those differences, please?
Everybody mislabels the ancient ones a Sasquatch because they don't know any better. The so-called experts, they don't even know any better because they haven't talked to them or interacted with them in any way. So they just... some of their fantasy theories become real to them after a while because that's all they've got that they fabricated. But the ancient ones, I've interacted with both of them. As a matter of fact, when a person reports, say, gee, I was deer hunting and I saw a Sasquatch, and when I looked through the telescope, he had a human face. And so I couldn't shoot him. Wait a minute, which is it? People say they have an ape-like face, and then some people say, which is it? Well, it's because they're two different races of people. So at one time, I was engaged to a woman, and we had a broken engagement, and I was very depressed over this whole thing. So I was helping someone, and a female ancient one appeared, and she had a beautiful face. I mean, she could have won Miss America easily. Green eyes, just absolutely a gorgeous face. And she said to me, they refer to me as Dream Man, they said, because I can look ahead and so forth. But she says, Dream Man, I want you to come up in the forest to make love to me. And I said, I was a little shocked by this. And I said, well, right now I'm busy helping someone. And she said, it's good to help others, but I am lonely. And I've come through the portal there to come on this side, you know, would you come up there and to make love to me? I told her no. I sometimes joke with people when I'm lecturing and say, well, maybe I should have done it just for science. but I would have learned a lot if I had done that. And she had hair all over her body, but this absolutely gorgeous face. And she was 5.5 feet tall. She was young. So they have the same number of chromosomes, 46 chromosomes, as we do, because they created us, so they told me, from the ancient ones. Now, a woman who was a UFO researcher with MUFON told me that about 35 miles outside of Seattle, there was a man who was divorced, 60 years old, and he lived in a cabin on a small lake, and he was seeing spaceships come and hover over the lake in the evening, and then a tube would put in the water, and the next morning he noticed the water was down in the lake because it was a small lake. And then at a distance, he thought he was seeing Sasquatch at a distance, but he never made the connection between the two. Now, one evening, there was a knock on the door, and he opened the door, and there was this beautiful woman standing there about 6 foot tall. And she had hair all over her body, but a beautiful face. She was an ancient one. Again, he didn't know one from another. And she asked if she could come in, and she was talking to him telepathically. So he did, and wanted to know what this was all about. And she said, I want you to make love to me. So apparently a lot of these abductions and things like that from different races of ETs, they're not all the same, are using genetics and so forth for whatever reason. I don't even know, but it's important to them to get a woman's ovum or whatever, you know, in order to do these things. So he went to bed with her, and when she got through making love, she got out of bed and smiled at him and then walked right through the wall, because they can walk through doors or walls easily, and disappeared. 1 month went by, and there was a knock on the door again in the evening. When he opened the door, she pointed to her stomach and said to him telepathically, just one phrase, she says, "It took," and smiled and turned and walked away. So they do this. One woman who is having Sasquatch experiences and ET experiences, because they're one and the same, basically, was taken. And they somehow, anyway, you know, got her pregnant. Then they came later and took the fetus out and put it in some kind of a chamber and developed it into a being. And one day she was living by herself on this old farm in Indiana. There were woods and fields all around her. And they came and woke her up and said, "We want you to come," because they could listen in on her, that she was wondering whatever happened to the child that came from her body. See? So they took her aboard. There in the field was a spaceship, and they took her aboard, and this ET escorted her child out, and he was to a beautiful child that was half ET and half human. The child smiled at the mother and hugged her, and then they escorted her back whatever they were doing. So the next morning, when she went back to bed, then the next morning, a neighbor called, a man. And he says, "Gee, I got to tell you something." He says, "I don't know if you want to believe me or not, but," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night, and my wife was asleep, so I got up and went into the living room. But when I looked out the window, there in the field was a spaceship," he said, "and it was close to your house." He says, I don't know if you want to believe this or not." So there was proof. And so she contacted MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and was interviewed and so on, and gave them that information. So these things are happening, but the average person doesn't know about it or doesn't believe in it. They've been watching too many science fiction movies and think it's all a joke when it's all real.
Kawani, in your book, you write how the Ancient Ones explained that portals are on a ley line and the nucleus of a vortex moves up and down the line based on astronomical movements and changing seasons. Some lines are longer than others. Portals differ from each other. Some have healing energy. Others are dangerous to be near. A vortex can move through solid matter, which explained the vortex appearing in a boy's bedroom, as you described in one anecdote. Would you please talk more about the nature of energy line movement and how the Sasquatch people may use them?
A portal is something, it's a door to another dimension that they use. A vortex is an energy field that even some spaceships go to these vortex, and I don't know if they get energy from it or whatever, get charged up or something. But I was told to stay away from the vortexes or vortices. Either one is correct. I found numerous portals and talked to the beings on the other side, and ETs have talked back to me through that portal. Now, but a vortex is generally on a ley line, and these ley lines are north to south all through the planet. For example, I went to Gold Hill, Oregon, where they have a vortex. It's commercial. People can go there and see, and you can stand up a broom on there on a vortex and all this stuff. So it's really an amazing place. And when I went through there, a person was giving a short lecture, and it takes about 45 minutes. And she said, up on a hill here, there's a vortex, and so on. And we were inside this cabin. It's an old one-room cabin that some gold miners used a century ago. I said to myself, the vortex is right here in the corner of this room, and she's wrong. So I didn't say anything to her, but I asked, I said, where is the owner of the place? So she's back in the kiosk. And so when we got through, I went there and said to the woman, this is incorrect what you're telling people. She said, oh, no. She says, I know what I'm doing. I'll show you. And she got a pair of L-rods, and we walked up to the beside the cabin, and she said, watch, these are going to point up there, up on the hill. I said, no, they're not. And she smiled and said, yeah, you'll see. And it pointed to the cabin. And she said, what? And I said, come inside and do it. I said, it's in the vortex right now, is in that corner. And so she did with the L-rod, and it pointed to the corner. She said, how do you know? I said, I'm a master dowser. I said, I do psychic work for police. I found criminals for them and for missing persons. And I said, they move. And she said, but it always pointed up north, here about 60 feet up on the side of the hill. And I says, do it in the springtime and it'll be up there. But this is late September. It moved all the way down and now it's here. I said, the nucleus of that vortex moves up and down that ley line. And so I taught her something about that. When there's a phenomena where people are incinerated and they find them, their shoes, their feet are still in the shoes, but the rest of their body's been incinerated, which means it's unbelievably hot, but the rest of the room, even the chair, is not burnt, and there's no fire in the house. So how could this be? It's a big mystery. Here's the answer. The person just happened to have a chair on the vortex line. And when that nucleus of the vortex ended up through that chair and on the chair while the person's sitting there, when they reached up to shut the light off, they grounded themselves out because they were encapsulated inside of this nucleus of the vortex, and which created a fire, and the person sadly died by being incinerated inside of this capsule, like, where fire would not happen outside of it. So that's how these people are incinerated. No one has ever said that. I didn't read this anywhere. This is what I know and what I've been told.
Talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Kawani Lapsaritis, we're going to continue this interview in a second show, but I want to mention to listeners that your book titled The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection is a superb read, and we've only touched on a few anecdotes in this interview, but it is one of the most interesting books I've ever read, and I've really appreciated how you wove the anecdotes all throughout the book, and it really answers a lot of deep questions a lot of some readers might have. If listeners want to read some of your work or your publications, how would they do that?
They can go on Amazon to purchase my two books, The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection, and The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connections. If anyone wants to learn telepathy or to ask me questions, they can also call me by phone at 509-590-0415. That's 509-590-0415. I'd be happy to speak with you.
I have a feeling you're going to get some phone calls, Kawani. Thank you again so much for being on In Other News.
Yes, thank you for having me, and God bless everyone that's listening. You take good care. It's a very challenging times now.
Well, that's the end of part one of the interview with Kawani Lapsaritis. There are many connections into topics of past shows, such as the reptilian reference, the Lemurian and Atlantean reference, the reference to giants and the Smithsonian cover-up of the remains of the giants. Dr. Ross Hamilton was a guest on this show recently discussing this. The abduction, the interbreeding accounts with the Ancient Ones and Sasquatch is another topic addressed on this show recently. The truth of this reality has been dragged out into the public square. I also want to mention one account from Kawani's book, quote, "While conducting field work in Texas, I was told that back in the 1800s, the Ancient Ones would occasionally find a black slave lost and in want of food and shelter. They would tell him or her not to be afraid, take the escapee into their clan, teach him or her their ways, and eventually find the newcomer a partner to mate with. The giants seem to be aware that an outsider can strengthen their gene pool. Amorous encounters between humans and Sasquatch types appear to be rare, but authentic, and are reported in other countries as well." Kawani is the first academic to experience and document the dynamics of mental telepathy and psychic healings, and to witness interdimensionalism in the quantum realm of the Sasquatch people. Stay tuned for part two next week. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.